Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, the Arizona Wildcats football, basketball, everything else, coaching search podcast from the Arizona Daily Star. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with two guests today. I like this, by the way. We're sitting at a square table in the bowels of the Arizona Daily Star, but this is a roundtable discussion. Michael Lev joining us, Greg Hansen, as usual, joining us.
You could say we're a triangle. We are,
in a way,
Ryan, but not of secrecy.
No. We are a triangle of observations and transparency. There's only one thing to talk about, and it's Arizona continues its search for its next head football coach. Rich Rodriguez was fired a week ago today. Since then, Dave Hickey, the athletic director, has gone underground. Robert Robbins is not talking. The only names we're hearing are tweets from small-town Alabama television reporters and the occasional message board and sports call-in show chatter. But let's name names. Michael Lev. We talked earlier today that it's not about necessarily who in particular you want, but it's what school of thought you choose to believe in here. Tell me about that.
Right. There are a lot of camps out there. The players, they want Marcel Yates. Mm-hmm. Who would fall under the category of, you know, the incumbent, mm-hmm. the in-house guy that they already know. Mm-hmm. And if it's not Marcel, then they want Kevin Sumlin, mm-hmm. who's the big name, the splashy guy on the marquee, mm-hmm. Who might retain Marcel Yates because they work together at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about appeasing the players, appeasing the fans, I mean, that package would be incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't completely understand if there's mutual interest between Arizona and Kevin Sumlin, why that hasn't happened yet. I know our GH has kind of been digging into that to some degree.
Right. Because if he wanted them and they wanted him, he could have been their head coach last Wednesday morning, in theory.
Right. I totally understand and respect, too, that Dave Hickey wants to be very diligent about mm-hmm. this.
Right.
You know, he wants to make sure that it's the right fit from a football standpoint in terms of off the field character issues, because, I mean, let's face it, you know, they said that some of the reason that Rich Rod was fired was due to on-field performance, but a big chunk of it clearly was more to do with what was going on off the field.
If you have two eyes, two ears, and understand timing at all, they fired him when it became clear that this claim was becoming public, right? I mean, I'm not going to question what they've said publicly. What they have said publicly is on the record and there. But, my goodness, Rich Rodriguez, come on, was fired because he was going to be sued. And you cannot bring in somebody with similar issues and still make the argument that, you know, you want somebody who adheres to the core values of your university. Can you, Greg Hansen?
Absolutely. And once that happened, you're done. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, Rich Rod will never coach another down anywhere.
No.
Because of that. That's how serious it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about Kevin Sumlin. My one pause about him is the last 4 years, 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, 7-5, in a position of strength. I know the conference is good, but come on, you got to do a little bit better than that.
Right. Greg, you and I talked about this last week. Kevin Sumlin lost at a place where most people win. Rich Rodriguez lost at a place, Michigan, where most people win. John Makovic lost at Texas, where most people win. Kevin Sumlin, I think, is far more qualified than both of those other two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an Arizona fan and you hear Kevin Sumlin, there's a part of you that goes, oh, no, 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 no. No, you want somebody maybe who's done more with less as opposed to somebody who's done less with more.
Isn't that the first variable here?
Yeah.
You can't try that again.
Right.
I had this conversation with somebody last night during the national championship. As most people probably know, Kevin Sumlin participated in the coach's film room,
right.
Which was in Charlotte, I found out, which makes sense because that's where the coach's convention is, and ESPN also has studios down there. So anyway, the point I made was that Kevin Sumlin is sitting there watching this game between Georgia and Alabama from the conference he used to be in, seeing all these future NFL players going at it. And if he's sitting there thinking about what it would be like at Arizona, he'd have to know, this is not going to be what it's like for me at Arizona. No. I am not going to have all of these NFL defensive tackles,
right.
And giant offensive tackles who are future first-round picks,
right.
playing for me at Arizona.
Right.
I don't know if that factors into his thinking at all, because as I understand it, he is interested in the job.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of reasons, as I wrote in a recent story, as to why this job would be attractive to somebody, but this would not be the SEC, where, as you pointed out, Greg, he didn't win big, which is why he got fired and replaced by Jimbo Fisher.
Right. So we're talking about these groups, right? Number one group is the big splashy hire. So that's Mark Helfrich, Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, no way, Mark Helfrich.
Right. Les Miles.
Maybe. I would put Les Miles in that category. I wouldn't put Mark Helfrich in there because he seems very unpopular, at least among the masses.
Okay.
He's blamed by pretty much every fan. Every time I bring it up, everyone on Twitter says, oh, he tore down the Oregon program. He ruined it. He can't
one bad year. One bad year.
That's what I said. I also said he developed Marcus Mariota, and Chip Kelly apparently wants him on his staff. So, I don't know. The question is, is he kind of the Norv Turner type? Norv Turner, great, legendary offensive coordinator everywhere he's been. Head coach? Didn't have quite the personality or the leadership.
Yeah, I'm having Norv Turner flashbacks. We can stop talking about Norv Turner for a minute. Former Charger fan here. He was terrible. Could call plays. So that's group one.
Yeah.
Right. Group two, I think, is lesser head coach. Okay. Smaller school. Number one, Neil Brown is a guy who was tweeted by a television reporter in the Deep South. He is the head coach at Troy University.
Yep.
That is in Troy, Alabama.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people would know that?
I know.
Troy, Alabama.
He is on the surface what you're looking for. A guy in his late 30s, offensive coach, good with quarterbacks, resume that includes stops at Texas Tech and Kentucky. But there's a big downside here when it comes down to the finances, Michael Love.
Right. USA Today reported that he has a buyout in excess of $2.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to cut a check to Troy in order to get him,
right.
Which is an issue, especially if it's not completely clear that he is far and away the number one candidate.
Right.
I would also question the fact that he has no West Coast ties whatsoever.
Biggie.
So I get it. I made this comparison that it would be sort of like when USC hired Andy Enfield.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Enfield had that one run in the NCAA tournament. Neil Brown
at Troy
had that one huge win over LSU this year.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Enfield came to LA without any sort of West Coast connections whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Brown would be doing the same thing if indeed he turned out to be the guy.
Right.
But don't you think, Greg, that you have to have some sort of ties to the West Coast over here?
If you hire a coach from the Sun Belt, I would hire Doug Martin from New Mexico State over Troy Brown or whatever his first name is. Because Doug Martin is a fighter.
Right. Doug Martin does more with less. And that is not conceding that Arizona is a place that will always be less. But I think that in terms of your program's identity, I think in terms of the way fans buy in, I think you want a guy who's going to chop wood.
Oh.
Right? You don't want a guy who's going to sit on the top floor of the Lowell Stevens football facility and bitch and moan about why he doesn't get a practice bubble. I think you need somebody who's going to be very much an underdog type. That's not to say Arizona's a bad school. It's just, I think that fits better. Dick Tomey was that guy. Larry Smith was that guy. John Nakovic wasn't. Rich Rodriguez wasn't. Mike Stoops was a little. Another name that's out there, Matt Wells, Utah State. I mean, if we're putting him in the same boat as, say, a Neil Brown at Troy, again, a sitting head coach, not as young as you'd think, probably not as successful as you would think, but somebody who's been mentioned for big jobs in the past, is this somebody you might jump in on?
I talked to somebody whose name might be Matt Wells.
Right.
And that person said, I know I wouldn't be one of the top three picks there.
Right.
But he had talked to Dick Tomey.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Tomey said, I was the fourth pick at Arizona.
Right.
And he said, if I'm the fourth pick, he would walk down to take this job. The only problem is he's had three flat years in a row.
Right. He's a Utah State grad, too. I mean, I wonder about that just from a heartstring standpoint. Do you want a guy who'd walk away from his alma mater? I don't know.
Greg, I can't remember the adjective you just used. Maybe flat, was
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier about winning the press conference. Can you win the press conference if you hire the coach from Utah State who went 6-7, 3-9, and 6-7 the last 3 years?
Who was here 11 days ago losing a bowl game to New Mexico State?
I certainly like the idea of Doug Martin because, I mean, he did something that hadn't been done at New Mexico State in 57 years. Mm-hmm. And, hey, he won the last game he coached at Arizona Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
he's 1-0.
He's impressive.
He is an impressive guy. I think he's on the wrong side of 50 if you're trying to go young. But that's interesting. So, you've got sort of the Neil Brown, Matt Wells. Another name that comes up is Bo Baldwin. I know he's not a head coach now, but he was a head coach a year ago. At Eastern Washington. Really good. Michael Lev, what do you think?
Right, okay. Bo Baldwin is co-offensive coordinator, or maybe full offensive coordinator at Cal.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for 1 year this past year. Before that, he was the head coach at Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington was an FCS power for a long time. He had an incredible record there.
Really good.
Vernon Adams,
who went on to play at Oregon, upset at least one Pac-12 team while he was there.
Washington State. And they beat Oregon State.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me is a sign that you can do more with less, right?
Mm-hmm.
I communicated with someone who has worked with Bo Baldwin, and they were just full of praise for his character, his football acumen, his leadership. Said he'd be a great fit here.
Mm-hmm.
All of the above. People have questioned Cal's offense this past year. They look at the numbers from where things were under Sonny, Sonny Dykes, and they were down by comparison, but you have to consider they had a first-year starting quarterback who wasn't talent-wise on the level of a Khalil Tate.
Mm-hmm.
They had injuries at running back, so I think they were playing their third-string running back, Patrick Laird, for the most part. They lost their number one wide receiver for the season really early, and they were still decent. They weren't amazing. Like, they didn't score as many points as Arizona or put up as many yards, but they were pretty good. And I would certainly not try to judge someone strictly off of their first year as a coordinator at a new school with all new personnel, injuries, et cetera.
Right.
But overall, what I've heard about Bo Baldwin is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Again, can you sell that to the players and the fan base?
Right.
I don't know. What do you think, Greg?
This sounds superficial male speaking, but I looked at a couple of YouTube bites of Bo Baldwin being interviewed this year, and I just went, oh, he doesn't have the bearing of a head coach. That was... Okay.
Doesn't come off as a leader of men.
That was my impression, one person.
Right.
So that's the way I'm looking at him is, no,
right.
I would not vote for him.
Right. You know who also won a ton of games at Eastern Washington University? Paul Wolf. You know who may be the most disappointing head coach in Pac-12 football history?
That's right.
Paul Wolf. I worry about that. The same way when we talk about Brian Harsin, who again has no buyout at Boise State. Certainly would, this would fit kind of that, small, medium, big trajectory for somebody like him. That's the same concern I have with Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin's won some big games, yes. But you look at Boise State's history of producing good college coaches, and it is one name long, and that's Chris Peterson. Do you think he's Chris Peterson? If so, hire him today. Is he more Dirk Cutter or Dan Hawkins? If that's the case, stay away.
When Arizona played Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, and there was a lot of media contact with the head coaches in the auditorium, you had plenty of time to talk to them one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Harsin really impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
He is good on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like a Power 5 conference head coach to me.
Yeah.
And Boise is as close as you can get to being that.
Yeah.
If they interview him, mm-hmm. I bet he impresses them.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a small-town mayor to me, and I mean that as a compliment.
I haven't heard his name connected with this job.
Not at all.
Other than our conversation right now. Very strange.
Right. But if we had to say right now, if we had to bet, is Arizona going to take one of the names that we've just mentioned?
No.
Or are they going to take the field? I find it hard to believe that they would leak names to reporters, websites, the TV people, anybody.
I mean, as I understand it, as you mentioned kind of how this idea of Dave mm-hmm. Hickey going underground, like mm-hmm. I haven't heard any leaks from anybody associated with the
school. We don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to appear at a U of A team meeting tonight. And there are questions as to whether he will be in the state at the time.
Right, right, because he's, you know, trying to get somebody.
Right.
Brian Harsin, I think, is from Boise,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and he went to Boise.
And went to Boise, so I don't know. Does he want to leave there? You talked about Matt Wells being a Utah State guy. Mm-hmm. Boise State, I think, is probably the best.
He would leave there in a heartbeat.
The best.
Go to a Pac-12 school.
You think he would?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a good... I wonder...
He also has a prior relationship with Marcel Yates,
right.
Should be pointed out. I mean, Marcel was on the same staff as Brian Harsin for a long time, so if people want that kind of package deal with Marcel staying as the defensive coordinator and kind of Southern California recruiter, there'd be something there. It's pretty impressive what he's done. I mean, Chris Peterson went 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've gone 12-2, 9-4, 10-3, 11-3.
What I like about them is they are appointment freaking television every December. Whether it's in their conference title game or in their bowl game, it's a team that plays hard. I don't think they take a lot of games off. And my goodness, they seem like they have fun, right?
They've also won 3 out of 4 bowl games under Harsin. And that game this year, the Vegas Bowl, with the final score was 38-28, but it wasn't remotely that close. There were two fluky defensive touchdowns
for Oregon
at the end of the first half that kind of made it closer than it was. But that game, my impression was one team was ready to play and enthusiastic and wanted to be there. That was Boise. It was not Oregon.
Ditto the 2014 Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
Every Arizona fan who watched that game probably had the same thought as I did. God, Boise State came out and punched Arizona right in the nose.
Yep.
And Arizona really never recovered.
Nope. There's another bucket, I think, that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, and that was the Arizona guy, right?
Yeah.
To me, that could be Chuck Cecil. That could be Dave Phipp. That could be Joe Salavea. That could be somebody in that group. Obviously, that is probably your average fan's pick. What are the pros and cons of hiring a guy who knows the words to the fight song? Greg? Give me the pros. Give me the pros for
the pros is if the Philadelphia Eagles weren't deep into the playoffs.
Right.
Because Dave Phipp cannot come here right now.
Right.
So he cannot be hired.
Right. Right now.
I would jump on him right now
and
have Dick Tomey in a mentorship position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spending 3 days a week with him for an hour a day, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a special human being.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he has risen to a level in the NFL where he might be a head coach pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Can you afford to miss on him now? Yeah. I would like to just hear a conversation. If Dave Phipp went into Doug Peterson's office or their GM's office and said, could I leave to become the head coach at Arizona? Would they say, sure.
Right. Could I leave to go have a press conference and come back?
I mean, I like the idea of Dave Phipp a lot. Mm-hmm. He sort of seems like a younger version of Chuck Cecil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone who is... like tremendous praise from everyone he's ever coached and come in contact with. He's an Arizona guy. I don't know if any of the players have ever heard of him, you know, whatever. They can kind of be sold in the team meeting or whatever on what kind of guy this would be. But I think Greg's point is a great one. Let's just say Nick Foles leads the Eagles on a run here and they go all the way to the Super Bowl. And we're talking into February.
Yeah. Well,
the Super Bowl, I think, is February 3rd and National Signing Day is February 7th.
Right.
You obviously cannot wait that long. Now, sometimes coaches are able to work two jobs. Scott Frost just did it. Like, he started at Nebraska, and he was flying back and forth and somehow coached Central Florida to victory. But it's a different thing when you're talking about an NFL job.
Right. Can I name drop in a backwards way here?
Of course.
The late John Fox, before John Fox was whacked as the Bears head coach a week ago, was talking to my brother, covers the Bears. You may know him, correct. And they were talking about what Herm Edwards would do at Arizona State. And one of the things that Fox had told Patrick was, you don't understand, coaching in the NFL is like an 8-month-a-year job. I mean, there's a beginning and an end and a time to go back to my beach house in North Carolina, like season, right, in the NFL. When the year's over, you can go home. These guys, you know, Kadeem Carey didn't stay in Chicago 12 months a year, right? I mean, there was a, they would come home. You go to your separate ways. You have a life. And as much as you are sort of in the submarine all day and all night in the NFL, there's an off season as a coach. Dave Phipp would have to work 100-hour weeks, 12-month years until he got it right here. I wonder how attractive that could be to him when, if he just hangs on and they maybe win a Super Bowl, maybe next year, maybe in 2019, maybe he's on somebody's head coach radar.
Oh, sure.
I mean, to me, I would wonder what the appeal of the alma mater would be outside of just it's the alma mater and they need me. Yeah. When you have an NFL pension, a pretty good salary, and the possibility of being an NFL head coach, is there a more high profile, more beloved and desired job in all of sports than NFL head coach?
Right. Not only that, but there's about a 25% turnover rate every year.
Yep.
7 or 8 jobs are coming open
no
matter
what. Look who you guys hired this week.
Yeah. Some guy from
you
the Chiefs.
Heard of him?
I'd heard of him Sunday, and that was about it.
Dave Phipp is on that path.
He is on that path.
John Harbaugh went from special teams coach to head coach with Baltimore. It's funny, Ryan, when you mentioned how guys would leave town or whatever. I used to talk to Robert Woods every now and again, covered him at USC. You know, he started his career with the Buffalo Bills. He said guys would just be, as soon as the season ended, guys would be out of there. They had wanted no part of Buffalo in winter. So it is a different ballgame. And not only that, but starting this year, juniors in high school can take official visits in April, May, and June.
Oh, God.
Which is part of the changes that they made, you know, geared toward the early signing period. Big complaints from Rich Rod and others about this, how it would be like, this is when our guys have time off, or this is when they have vacation. Now our, you know, our assistant coaches have to stick around and, and deal with these official visits and so forth. So it really is a more, you know, all-encompassing job in a way. You're dealing with recruits, you're texting and direct messaging with kids all the time. But maybe that's a, you know, maybe that's kind of a passion project for someone like Dave Phipp coming back to his, to his school.
I would say this about it. His best friend is Joe Salovea. If something happened, they approached him and said, could we make this work, Dave? He would say, I'm going to call Joe right now.
Right.
Joe will be down in Tucson Thursday and start running everything while I'm here for this playoff game this week.
Maybe the Eagles will just lose this weekend and Dave Phipp will be free to come to Tucson.
And how ironic would this be if Nick Foles pees his pants in this playoff game, allowing his alma mater to jump on somebody like a Dave Phipp? That would be something. I don't think that's going to happen. I really like Nick Foles, and I don't think that they're that much worse with him at quarterback. But
okay, let me ask you about this one question. If this scenario plays out and Dave Phipp is hired next Monday, and at the press conference Joe Salovea is standing next to him, Would people get excited?
Yes.
I think Arizona fans would get excited for sure. I don't know if the current players would necessarily, but they don't know. They know Kevin Sumlin and Marcel Yates.
I can imagine.
That's what they know. They know Les Miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did the players think the day John Makovic walked in that room?
Right. It's true.
He probably croaked.
Right.
This mean old guy is going to be our coach. Right. You've got fired at Florida for losing. I mean, Texas.
My experience with players in general is that anytime there's a coaching change, their coach leaves, they are extremely upset about it, which you totally understand, right? I mean, your assistant coach is the guy that you're dealing with on a daily basis.
Right.
You're in the meeting rooms with them. There's a bond that is formed there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, generally speaking, they pretty quickly fall in love with whoever the new guy is.
Well, to me, it's the,
happens all the time.
And to me, it's the insecurity of not knowing, right? It's not... I think players want Marcel Yates over the idea of somebody else. But once that somebody else is identified, I think they'll warm to him pretty quickly, right? I mean, when our – but bad example, but in our little world, when our publisher leaves, people get anxious. When we hire a new publisher and you sniff him out and you realize he seems like a good guy, everybody just goes back to work, right? I don't know. I think players are the literally the last group of people you should be thinking about this or thinking about in all this.
So, and they change position coaches at Arizona all the time.
Right.
Right. They just turned over the entire defensive staff like 2 years ago. And then one of those coaches left, Dante Williams, who's
now at Oregon.
Landed at Oregon now, which is appropriate since like five of the guys he recruited ended up there. So it all comes together, doesn't it?
It's crazy.
So I just received a text from someone who's close to the most important player on the roster, Khalil Tate, and the indication that I'm getting is positive as far as Khalil staying at Arizona. No one's ever really brought up this subject before, but you know, what if Khalil didn't like where things were headed and he decided to leave, which any player can do. I'm gathering from reading this text that that is not going to happen, that he's prepared to, you know, lead the Wildcats, whoever the coach might be. But I did have this like wild scenario in my head that would be like everyone's worst nightmare. And again, this is not sourced. This is just me, like, you know,
I know where you're going, I think. Go ahead.
Khalil grew up wanting to go to UCLA, right? Because his cousin, Manuel White, was a fullback there. He went to UCLA. He was never a USC guy. Well, who's the coach at UCLA now? Chip Kelly. Who's the perfect coach to turn Khalil Tate into, like, a Heisman Trophy winner? Chip Kelly, right? Of course, it would, you know, if that were to happen, he'd have to sit out a year. Arizona would have to sign off on him transferring to another Pac-12 school. That could be a whole imbroglio. Again, this is not sourced. This is just, like, a scenario that played out in my head at one point in time, but the indication that I'm getting here is that that's not going to happen. So I think Arizona fans can rest assured that the franchise is going to be in place. He is another one, by the way, who advocated for Marcel Yates, which I thought was interesting because almost everyone who had previously was a defensive player.
Yeah, I think that we can probably all agree right now that despite my protestations, they're probably going to hire somebody who will feature the quarterback in some sort of a high-flying offense. I'm not sure that's the best long-term play. For a school like Arizona, I think they should zig when other people zag. I think that that's how you establish a foothold or an identity in this league. But you're right. I mean, from the names, every name we've mentioned, with the exception of Dave Phipp, and it's just because I don't know what kind of offense Dave Phipp likes, every name we've mentioned comes with a some sort of hair-on-fire offensive approach, which probably sells tickets, probably, and certainly gets players on board.
It was interesting. I had tweeted last night that I didn't think that the identity of the head coach would make that much of a difference as far as selling tickets. And I got maybe a half a dozen people responding to me saying, if they hire Kevin Sumlin, I will buy season tickets tomorrow. I will drive down from Gilbert. I will renew my season tickets, etc. So I think there definitely would be some excitement and some buzz around it. I just don't know how long it would last.
Right.
If some SEC job opened or even NFL or whatever, if Kevin Sumlin had two amazing seasons with Khalil Tate and Khalil Tate's eligibility expired, that's kind of the pattern you saw at A&M. Like his best 2 years were his, like his first couple years, right? And we know that he had Johnny Football back then.
Speaking on what you were talking about,
ASU
hires Herm Edwards, and for 2 days it was big news everywhere, and then gone.
Right. Herm Edwards said, good news, we have this new idea, this new plan. I'm keeping the coordinators. And then both of them quit within 5 days. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think winning sells tickets. I think having somebody who... Jonathan Smith at Oregon State is going to sell tickets because he played quarterback there. He wept at the dang press conference.
And he was on their best team in history.
He was on their best team in history. He brought back Mike Riley as an assistant coach.
Winner, winner, winner.
If you want to talk about the only argument I've ever heard for a search firm, it's what happened at Oregon State. They used the same search firm that Arizona did, or is.
And they didn't buy it on Bo Baldwin.
And they didn't buy it on Bo Baldwin, even though there were reports that they had already done it, right?
Right. Could you set up a structure, and I think you guys might have talked about this on one of your previous pods, but could you set up a structure where Dick Tomey is kind of a consultant?
Yes.
I think he's too old to bring on as a quote-unquote coach, but to bring on as some sort of a consultation role to mentor the young David Phipp.
Right, senior advisor.
In his early 40s, right? Senior advisor. Great title.
Oh, he did that at South Florida.
Yeah. A guy named Willie Taggart who couldn't go 500 there. And then Dick Tomey shows up. He starts winning games and he's at Florida State.
Yes, now he's the coach at Florida State after one up and down year at Oregon.
Right. We are reaching a half hour here on the Wildcast podcast. I would like to come back with one quick tag-on podcast as soon as we're done with this. So stay tuned. If you are a subscriber, there will be another one, another podcast showing up in your inbox here in a minute. For Greg Hansen and Michael Lev, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.